Gracious Holy One, we praise your holy and righteous name. We thank you for your many blessings. And indeed, Lord, your love is amazing. It demands our life, our soul, our all. Speak to us through your preached word. Consecrate our lives that we may listen and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage for this morning from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. And if you don't have a Bible, please look on the back of your worship bulletin and the scriptorial passage is printed there. Also, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. Listen to these words recorded by Mark. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. You're my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want to share with you with excitement and joy the title of my sermon, How to Respond to Temptation. How to respond to temptation. Look at your neighbor and say the title with me. How to respond to temptation. All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All of us in this sanctuary of praise are vulnerable. Temptation will come at us each and every day. If you look closely at the text, it's a beautiful text that is recorded, as I stated earlier, by three of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They share as it relates to the temptations of Jesus that Satan tried to trick and trap him as it was during the day. If you look closely in the passage of Scripture, it also gives us a preview of how Jesus responded to Satan and how Jesus relied upon his relationship with his Father. And lastly, how we too can respond to the evil one. Well, if you look at the first bullet point, is this bullet point. If you like to write the information down, feel free. It's going to be on the screen. Borders shares this information. Someone once said that they knew when a believer was growing because, number one, he more and more what? Elevated his Lord. He elevated his Lord. Point number two, he less and less spoke of himself and more spoke of his God. Number three, he became smaller and smaller and smaller in his own eyes until, like the morning star, he fades away before the rising sun. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a pictorial example of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who was proclaiming and preaching in the wilderness, not in a temple, not in a synagogue, but in the wilderness. John the Baptist came preaching, repent, believe the gospel, and be baptized. John the Baptist was sharing in the hills, in the deserts of Judea and Jerusalem, and people came from miles and miles around to be baptized in the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River, believe it or not, is not a large body of water. You'll see in the Bible it's mentioned so often in the New Testament as it relates to the Jordan River. The Jordan River is not what's so most significant. What makes the Jordan River significant is that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. The Jordan River is a small body of water. Those of you who had gone on to the Holy Land trip a couple of years ago, you remember, it's a real small body of water. But John was baptizing in the Jordan River. It's not even the most fresh water in the Holy Land. But yet, Jesus was in line when John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan. You recall it was John who shared in the beginning of the book of Mark. John said that I must decrease and he must what? Increase. He stayed in his lane. If we can get some people just to stay in their lanes. Perhaps you watched the Daytona 500 last weekend and you noticed several cars didn't do what? They didn't stay in their lane. But John the Baptist stayed in his lane. He realized that he must decrease and allow Jesus to increase. But you can imagine how John the Baptist, if I can use my spiritual imagination, how John the Baptist must have felt when he noticed the next person in line was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and his Savior as well, and cousin. Jesus wanted to be baptized by John, and John was a little reluctant, but yet he was obedient, and Jesus was being obedient as well. How many of you know obedience is better than sacrifice? The Bible says when John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, that the heavens opened up, and the Spirit of God descended like what? Like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This would be the beginning of the prelude of Jesus being led into the wilderness to be in isolation in Judea's desert area, to have one-on-one time with God in solidarity. But guess who showed up? The devil. When you and I are praying in our periods of meditation, guess who will show up? Hello. The devil. Well, if you look closely in your sermon notes, you'll notice the next bullet point is this question. What is Lent? What is Lent? Ask your other neighbor, what is Lent? Yeah, what is Lent? Well, let me give you this definition in a nutshell. Lent is a time of self-examination and reflection. Self-examination and reflection. It's not you examining the person on the right or the left of you or in front of you or behind you. It's self-examination and reflection. Say self-examination. That's it. Who knows you better than you? Self-examination. On Wednesday night, Reverend Waters preached a great sermon as it relates to Ash Wednesday as we now have embarked upon the 40 days of Lent. But let me give you a little history as it relates to the Lenten journey. In the 3rd century, they only had 40 hours that they observed Jesus in the wilderness. Even though we know it's 40 days and 40 nights, that's biblical. It was not until 800 A.D. that scholars got together and they lined it up with Scripture and created what we know today, starting Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. Now, someone at the last service, you know, that's that contemporary crowd. They wanted to count the days and say, well, there's 46 days. Well, we don't count the Sundays during the Lenten time. But we observe 40 days and 40 nights, and it's a period of self-examination and reflection. It is to remind us that our sins are before us and that God is willing to forgive our sins if we repent, be baptized, and believe in the gospel. This Lenten journey is more than just giving up something. It's also taking in as well. Point and example. Look at the text. And look at the life of Jesus. Here's Jesus being led into the wilderness and by the what? By the Holy Spirit. That's the King James translation. And it reminds us that the Holy Spirit was upon Jesus. It never left him. In fact, it was part of him. Because we acknowledge the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God what? The Holy Spirit. Three in one. So he's in the wilderness. Satan shows up. And Satan is present. And to his credit or her credit, the devil can be male or female. Hello. Just want to stay inclusive. You'll figure that out when you get home. Amen. The devil, I see Reverend back there. The Reverend want me to tell you that it's he. Satan knows scripture. Satan knows scripture. And Satan can quote scripture better than some preachers. Satan knows scripture. He knows the Bible from cover to cover. And you can see how indeed that unfolds during the three temptations of Jesus, because Satan uses a word that we often use even today, the word if. As he shared with Jesus, each time he uses the word if, I-F. How do you spell life? L-I-F-E. You drop the L, you drop the E, what do you have? If. Kipling came along in his poem as it relates to if. And that last few lines of his poem goes like this. If you fulfill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distant run, the earth is yours and everything in it. Most of all, you'll be a man, my son. That word if can really try and stumble a person or challenge a person to do something. Well, Jesus responded as it relates to what was written in the gospel. He refers to each and every temptation by saying, it is written. It reminds me of one night, that Saturday night, that a preacher, he was working on his sermon and he was writing. And as he got to a point, Brother Lord, good to see you, friend. His wife can sing. We're going to have to get her to sing one Sunday. Each and every time, he just dropped it on the floor and started writing again. And his son came in the room and noticed him writing and noticed his method. And that every time he got stumbled, he starts throwing down the paper. And son asked the question. He said, Daddy, who gives you what to preach? And he got all pious and holy. He said, the Lord give me what to preach. He said, if the Lord is giving you what to preach, why do you every time write something down and ball it up and throw it on the ground? He said, why don't you listen the first time? That's good for you and me. God has already given us his word. All we need to do is what? Listen. Just listen. Follow God's word. You heard Reverend Waters when she prayed, asking God to order our steps in your word. Look at Jesus. He's in the wilderness. He's there in isolation and communication and meditation with God. And Satan appears. And Satan challenges him. He knew he was vulnerable. He knew Jesus had hunger pains. And so Satan challenges him and he says, those stones, why don't you turn those stones into bread? If you're the Son of God, turn those stones into what? Bread. But look how Jesus responded. And if you want to write it down, Jesus responded by quoting scripture. If you have your Bibles, look at Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and the 3rd verse. Jesus responded by quoting this scripture. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Isn't that good news? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus was reminding him that even though you're trying to compel me to fulfill my appetite in a worldly way, I won't do it. I'll feast on God's word. Look at the next point. Satan decided that he would take Jesus to where the Jewish people felt that the Messiah would indeed make his descent. He would come down from the temple to come down to the people. So he takes him to the temple mountain. And if you look at the variations in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, Matthew, he takes his interpretation and deals with the temple. Luke, he goes another route. But then Satan challenges him. Because Satan felt that if I can get him to just go ahead and toss himself down, that indeed the angels will protect him. Look at the words of Jesus. As it relates to ambition, Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." That's from Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. He's going to quote again from Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter as well, because in the last temptation, the devil says, well, if I can't appeal to his appetite, if I can't appeal to his ambition, I definitely can get him with the allegiance. Why don't you just worship me? If you are the Son of God, why don't you bow down and worship me and I give you everything that you can see? Everything. But look at the words of Jesus, how he responded. Jesus answered and said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." That's good news. That's great news. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus quoted scripture each and every time that he dealt with an encounter with the devil. And you and I should definitely study the scriptures to respond to the devil day in and day out. The preachers of old would tell us, our arms are too short to box with God. Don't try it. Don't think you can even box with the devil. Don't attempt to fight Satan. Hello. I don't care how much you can play the tapes back and look at the great Muhammad Ali and you think you can float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. You can't handle Satan. Why? Because Satan knows our weakness. He knows the area of our vulnerability. Satan knows what can trip us up, what can hold us back from our relationship with God. Perhaps you were here Wednesday night and you heard about somebody loving chocolate and how during the Lenten season, someone should give up chocolate. Satan knows our vulnerability. Perhaps you can think for a moment. If you don't like alcohol, Satan is not going to attract you with that. If you don't like to do this, that, or the other. If you don't gamble, Satan's not going to give you a free trip to Vegas. He can't trip you up. But he's going to find what entices you. What is something that I can get you, that I can show you that you're not all that in a bag of chips. Hello. That's his aim. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't try and even get in the rain. What we need to do is quote scripture to remind Satan, the battle is not mine. It's the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. For he shall what? Strengthen my heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. We can quote scripture back to the devil because the Lord is on our side and the Lord will fight our battles. Amen? Amen. Now, if you don't believe that, at the last two services, especially the last one, I had the high school students to do this. But if you have a Bible around you, you see a pew Bible, get a pew Bible if you have your Bibles. I'm going to ask you to turn to a passage of scripture. Look at the book of Jude. Right before Revelation, it's in the back, not in the front. I don't want to trip you up. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. But I want you to look at the book of Jude. And if you look at the book of Jude, look at the ninth verse. The ninth verse in the book of Jude gives us a beautiful illustration of how the angel Michael, the warrior. See, Michael wasn't like Gabriel. Gabriel was the messenger. We know that as it relates to Christmas. We like to hear those beautiful words from Gabriel as he descends upon Mary and says, "Hail Mary, thou highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women." That's in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. That was a message. Michael is a different type of angel. He's the warrior. He's the fighter. And look at these words, how Micah went to battle against Satan. And they're going to be on the screen as well. Let's read it together. "But when the archangel Micah contended with the devil and disputed about the body of Moses, he did not dare to bring a condemnation of slander against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" That's how we ought to fight the devil. Say, "Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." The Bible says if you rebuke the devil, he will what? Flee from you. That's how we respond to temptation. It's going to come each and every day. You can be riding along the highway and a car could be in the right lane and swerve in front of you before you even think about using one of your fingers. Say, "Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." Amen. Stay in your lane and stay focused. It reminds us that we live in challenging times and that God is on our side. How do I know? Because of experience and also because of the story of Martin Luther. Martin Luther, who created the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, who tacked his 95th thesis on the Church of Wittenberg. Martin Luther said it this way, that he had dreamed one night that Satan was at his door. And he wrote these words, "When the devil comes knocking upon the door of my heart and asks, 'Who lives here?' Martin Luther said, 'Jesus answered the door and said, Martin Luther no longer lives here. It is me, Satan, and the devil flee from the scene.'" It's a great reminder that when the devil comes knocking, call on the name of Jesus. The hymnologist said it this way as I close. "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dog passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and praise God." Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Won't you stand? All are invited to share in the Holy Eucharist experience. The Greek word Eucharist means to give thanks.